You're listening to Rosie on the House.
8 o'clock, second Saturday of the month. We are talking trees with ISA certified arborist John Eisenhower. Busy week this week, John. We had our first 90-degree day, followed by a nice cool down.
A little reprieve. Yeah, I love that, these little 20-degree swings. But I like the fact that spring has given us a couple more cool days before we give way to the inevitable hot weather.
If you'd like to join the conversation or have a question about your tree, 1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Text questions can be sent to 411-923, or you can send an email if you have a picture you need a little help with plant or insect identification. You can snap a picture and email it to info@rosieonthehouse.com. It's also, I think it's going to be a bad snake season.
A bad weed season, and that means lots of cover for lots of critters, including snakes.
And they come in phases. You know, we haven't had a snake on the property for a few years, and it just, you know, it goes in a few-year cycle, and already they've treated 18 rattlesnake bites at Banner Health.
Well,
here, and not all of them were from Arizona. They actually had to fly a kid in from San Antonio because there are two vaccines for snake bites, Cofab and Antiviper.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new one, and a lot of people can have a reaction to the old one. So if they start having a reaction to that, they fly them out here and give them the other one. It's like $18,000 for the shot. But
worth saving a limb.
Yeah. So just be careful. This time of year, I always carry a shovel with me, just in case.
Yeah, or wear those gaiters. You know, there are some little things you can wear up over your ankles. They're more popular in other parts of the country than here. But, yeah, we've got a lot of landscapers who will wear gaiters, their little ankle protectors, because that's usually where you get the bite, is up right around your calf area, you know, just lower calf, your ankle. So, yeah, be careful out there, especially with all the brush, all the weeds, the higher weed cover, and got to just be kind of careful, especially early morning, early evening. That's, you know, dawn and dusk is the time when the snake activity is heaviest. Usually by 9 o'clock in the morning when it's hotter, the snakes have long since gone underground, and so usually not a risk after that. But it's that early morning where you have to be kind of careful. If you're out walking, you know, a lot of people like that early morning walk to beat the heat, and got to be careful on the trails.
Keep your eyes open.
Yep.
And headphones off. The rattlesnake will warn you if you're listening.
This is true.
Can't hear it if you've got your point. Yeah. iPod on full volume.
Yeah.
Talking trees. Thankfully, I've never seen a rattlesnake in a tree. Now, they did post some pictures from Game and Fish of rattlesnakes swimming. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, we chased a big bull snake one time. I did see a bull snake in a tree, and we kind of scared him out of this area where we were working, and we kind of chased him out of our work area, and he went right over to a citrus tree, and he just got up in there was a branch hanging about 2 feet from the ground, and he didn't go to the trunk of the tree and go up the tree. He just raised up and climbed up into that branch that was hanging low, and he went slithered right up into the top of that citrus tree. And it gave me second thoughts about climbing trees. I thought, goodness gracious, that snake was up in that tree in no time, and you could barely see him once he was up in there. But he was coiled up, and there's a big 4-foot gopher snake. But I thought, man, if he can get up there, I'm sure rattlers can too. But never, gave me a pause to think that every time I go up in some of these trees, it could have me up there as well. So, in answer to your question, no, snakes do get in trees, and they can get in there real fast. But if they're looking for a place for cover, and that's what he was doing, we kind of chased him out of his little hiding place in the backyard, and then we pushed him out into the little desert area. There wasn't a lot of cover, so up in that tree he went. Well, we got lots to talk about today. I wanted to talk a little bit about irrigation, a little bit about tree selection, want to talk about fertilizing, and of course, our tree of the month this month is one of my favorite trees. Of course, all these trees, because I got to select them, are all kind of my favorite trees. But this one this month is especially nice because it's in bloom now, and it will be in bloom for a while. They'll bloom right through the summer. It's a Thevesia peruviana. It's commonly called a yellow oleander. Now, it's not a true oleander, which is a Nerium genus. It's a Thevesia peruviana, and it kind of has an oleander appearing leaf. It's a glossy green leaf. And what's popular about these trees and why I like them so much is, again, they're a small to medium-sized tree. They can be trained as a large shrub or they can be trained as a small tree. And so they fit so many places in your yard or around the house. They have very low risk of root encroachment, which I really like about them. So you can plant them literally right up against, pretty close to some hardscape. I wouldn't put them right up against a building or right up next to the sidewalk. But you can be, you know, relatively close to to hardscape elements in your landscape without fear of disrupting the pavers or the sidewalk. And they're, as I said, they can be trained as kept in that kind of 6 to 12 foot range if you want to keep them a little bit lower, or you can let them grow a little taller, 15 to 20 feet at maturity. That they're relatively slow growing. You know, it would probably take you 10 years to get to that 20 foot height, but they're really popular for screening. I like them too because they're evergreen. Unlike a lot of our smaller trees that go dormant in the winter, and then you've got a vacant tree with no leaves for the whole season. This one's really nice, especially if you have it. You're working with it in a small patio area or up closer to the house. It's nice to have that greenery all winter, even though it might not have the bloom on. At least you've got that nice green screen. Really nice for a privacy screen. Speaking of screen. Some people like to plant them at close to one another, and actually keep that that lower foliage as a privacy screen. There's several other trees like your citrus, that and your hop seed that provide a nice privacy screen. But this is another one of those trees that you can use for that reason. A low spot, something that you want to be a little concerned about, is they're such prolific bloomers that some people complain because of the flower cleanup. Because every time you have a flowering tree and one that flowers prolifically, you have to be dealing with the spent flowers, which eventually will fall off and become a bit of a nuisance. But the flower color is yellow, of course, yellow oleander, but they have an apricot, kind of an orangish a variety that's really popular, and I like those actually. They're really, really attractive. So if you some people kind of consider this an old school tree. They were very popular back in the 90s, and it's probably more appropriate for a mesic landscape. That is a landscape that has a little bit more moisture. Maybe if you have a lawn in your yard, this would be appropriate for that. If you're in the desert communities, it's probably not going to be a tree that's going to blend in well with your other desert landscape. In fact, a lot of our HOAs have restrictions on what you can plant for that very reason. They don't want you bringing in a lot of these Mediterranean-type plants that are going to they have even restrictions on citrus in some HOAs in the desert communities because they don't want you introducing these more water-demanding plants, and it kind of mixes up the a beautiful desert native landscape with these non-native trees. So this is more of a mesic landscape tree, and if you've got a yard that has some mixed vegetation like that, this would be a great addition for a small spot that you're looking to fill with a tree.
The yellow oleander, you were talking about a shade screen. The first thing I went to is a lot of times we'll advise somebody to put up a little trellis and then plant a vine to create a shade on the south or west side of a home if they're looking to get the direct sun.
Sure.
Off that. It sounds like it would be another good alternative.
Yeah.
It would save you from having to put a trellis up, put a couple of these little yellow oleanders against the south wall to break down that direct sun contact.
Yeah, it really reduces that surface temperature against those western and southern walls. Yeah, it really can make a big difference on the actual inside temperature as well. One of our friends did just that, built a big trellis right from the ground all the way just under the eaves, and planted some really nice vines along there. And within just a few short years, they had this huge screen. But the trellis, of course, holds that vine up there and gets you that height and that coverage a lot more quickly than a tree would. So you can plant a row of trees, but sometimes, you know, building a trellis and then putting vines up, which tend to grow very quickly, is a great alternative.
On our talking tree to-dos this month?
Well, this is a great time to be fertilizing, of course. You know, we talk about early, mid, and late fertilizing seasons, and we do that with a lot of our fruit-bearing trees, like our citrus. Sometimes, even with our queen palms, we're wanting to, because they have higher nutrient demands, we like to fertilize them, you know, periodically throughout the year. This is that spring fertilization. If you think about this, the in the spring, the plants are putting on new growth. So we're aiding the shoot development. In the later in the summer, we're encouraging the fruit development. And then in the fall and winter, as the trees move into dormancy, yet there's still root activity, we're encouraging root development. So at every season of the year, during the spring for the shoot development, in the summer for the fruit development, and in the fall and winter for the root development, there's a purpose for that periodic fertilization. A lot of our trees can be fertilized once a year on an annual application, just in terms of replacing the lost nutrients due to the fact that we're raking up our leaves and we're breaking up that nitrogen cycling. But if you have trees that are you're wanting to develop the flower, you're wanting to develop the fruit, that early, this is your first application period for that early fertilization.
And if while you're out there looking through all your fertilization, you're finding you've got some burrowing animals or something eating your trees, anything four-legged that's bothering you, Bonides Repels All will keep them away. The all-natural ingredients in Repels All use smell, taste, and irritation to keep animals away. They are so confident in the product, it's guaranteed. Your satisfaction is guaranteed against all four-legged animals, not two-legged animals. No guarantee it'll keep your neighbors away, but it'll keep the animals away. You can find Bonides Repels all over the state, including Mesquite Valley Growers in Tucson, Treeland Nurseries in Mesa, and Summer Winds in Glendale. It comes in a variety of ways. One, a concentrate. It's also got a ready-to-use and ready-to-spray. If you've got animals chewing on a fence or structures, get the liquid application and spray it on to keep them from chewing. Or you can get a granular application and even make a perimeter if you're trying to keep them out of a lawn or landscape.